How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Comic Talk Today. As you guessed it, I am not Martin. This is Joey Galvez, and you can find me on right here on the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. And this week, it is January 26th, Saturday, and we are going to be talking about a pretty cool handful of subjects. And we got a handful of guys here. Let's go ahead and start off with Martin. How's it going, Martin?
You mean to say an illustrious panel of Nerdy Legion podcasters.
There you go. We got Martin, we got Dennis, and Paul here today. How's it going, guys?
I like how we just got crammed together there, Dennis. You like that?
Yeah, I like that. I'm kind of like... I mean, and it's illustrious. If anything's illustrious, doesn't it have to include Ronnie?
Well, Ronnie can't work Discord, so he can't be on this.
Oh, that's right. He breaks it every time.
He breaks it.
All right. So this is going to be our monthly roundtable discussion, and we got a handful of topics here, and we've got the guys here that weren't the naysayers, and we're going to be talking to you guys.
So I love that. This is the panel of common sense, yes.
There you go, right? So the first topic that I wanted to talk about was Tom King's, his military service and his CIA service. People out there on the comic book world are questioning his service, and I wanted to get your guys' feedback on that. How did this come about, and what did you guys think about that?
So from my understanding, there was an article put out by some, can I say douchebag? Yeah, it's my show. I can say whatever I want. By some douchebag who, for some reason, believes that Tom King never served in the CIA. And the thing is, if he's in the CIA, you can't prove the thing, right? I mean, I'm sure there's, some record where maybe he shows up on the payroll. But I don't know, why this guy decided to attack Tom on his service. We have some other comics gators who say that they're veterans. Nobody's attacking their service. So why are they attacking Tom? I don't get it.
Well, that's what people do when they don't have a legit reason to attack somebody, is they find some other reason to attack them. You see it all the time, but it's ridiculous. I mean, regardless of whether you like or don't like what Tom King is doing with his comic books, attack that. If you don't like what he's doing with Batman, if it's not your Batman, attack it. Say it's awful Batman. Be that kind of douchebag. I would rather not do that either, but attacking somebody's, what do those credentials have anything to do with him being a comic writer? They don't have anything to do with it.
No, I have to agree with that. So, but, I guess I'm the newbie on this. I don't get to see much of the news. So, did he have a separate military service from the CIA, or is the CIA considered his military service? Because it's basically a civilian branch, so...
He posted pictures of himself. He served.
Yeah.
Okay, no, but yeah. Was he in the military, then the CIA, or just the CIA?
Military, then the CIA.
All right, then what's the issue?
Well,
being in the military's on record.
Well, and the thing is, the guy had to waste time proving to people that he actually was in both of these branches, you know what I mean? That doesn't make sense.
Well, that's the problem. He felt he had to, engage the guy. So do you ignore the guy, or do you engage and you just get even drawn deeper into this? It's like, I served.
Look, the number one rule of the internet is that you don't engage with trolls.
Exactly. In the military, you engage with the enemy. On the internet, you don't engage with the trolls.
Yeah. Plus, and like you said, it doesn't really matter, right? If he served, he served. Like, if DC believes he served, that's all that matters, right? And I mean, the guy's putting pictures up. He had to put letters up where he had to get approval for Sheriff of Babylon from the CIA. His wife chimed in. She was super pissed off. Cause of course she would be. I mean, her husband's out overseas fighting terrorism, whatever the hell he's doing. Top secret missions. And she's over here worried to death about what the hell he's up to over there. She shouldn't have to do that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so I haven't read Sheriff of Babylon. So I'm assuming some people here have.
Shame on
you. Now I have to go read it. But if it's that good, then that must mean he has some insight into it, which would mean he would, probably have served. Now, I think I was reading something somewhere or hearing something on it where they had to scrub his scripts to make sure he wasn't inadvertently giving away stuff that isn't.
Yeah, he had to get it all approved. He actually posted those pictures of those letters in kind of in response to the general thing of him being questioned. I think the best thing to come of this type of thing, though, is seeing more and more creators and the people that get targeted by this stuff just go into the, you know what, I'm just going to start blocking people. Like Tom's starting to do it. Other people are starting to do it. There's engaging is what's fueling people to be douchebags like this, and it ruins the experience for everybody. So there's no reason for these people that are trying to bring something positive to our lives by creating should be bogged down by this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But wasn't there some issue recently about some company saying you had to block your Twitter followers or they couldn't block their Twitter followers or
Alterna.
Something along these same lines?
Yeah,
it was Alterna.
So is this a different like facet of this?
It's a different facet of the same thing that's been going on for the last few months. I guess it started with Gamergate a couple of years ago, and I guess that kind of went by the wayside. And those people started actively pursuing comic book creators into this whole shenanigans that they're up to on the internet. And the sad part is that there's people that believe this kind of garbage, and so it puts the creators in a tough spot because, I mean, they want people to buy their books, obviously, and so they have to spend time trying to prove to these folks that, hey, like, yeah, this is not BS, right? Like, I'm who I say I am. And the thing is, we've had similar situations in the past with, you know, like C.B. Cebulski, for example, when he was pretending to be that Japanese writer back in the days writing Marvel books. All that stuff came out, I guess, last year when he was named editor-in-chief. Then I'm pretty sure he's admitted it by now, but we've kind of forgotten about it. And that's the thing, right? Like, people are going to forget in a couple of days, so who cares?
Yeah. I mean, when we boils down to it, it's just entertainment, people. It's entertainment through TV. It's entertainment through literature. It's entertainment through comics. If the guy can entertain you without being a real douchebag, then what does it matter?
See, that's the thing is people making their own form of entertainment by getting attention by being assholes.
Yeah, so, that's exactly right.
The only way around it is to not pay attention to it.
That's exactly right. It's just people who have crappy lives and they feel like they need to go online and comment on this crap. And I mean, we do that kind of thing to some extent, right? I mean, we're all doing podcasts talking about comics that we're reading or stuff that's happening in comics or movies or whatever. But there's a tack that you have to follow. You know what I mean? Especially if you have people listening to what you're saying, you can't just say whatever the hell stupid crap first comes to your brain.
I thought that was the whole reason why we had podcasts.
Well, that's the reason a lot of people have podcasts, but I try not to do that at least, for the most part.
No, I thought that was Twitter.
Mm. Yeah, see, I love Twitter, man. I don't. I think Twitter gets a bad rap. If you know how to manage it properly, you don't have that issue.
You just gotta block people.
Yep.
Like I find myself now blocking even people that I don't particularly have a problem with, like their viewpoint or what they do, because they just inject all that negativity into my feed by constantly engaging with it.
Mm-hmm.
So like I don't have the mental capacity for all of that. So whether you're an asshole or arguing with the assholes constantly, I can't have a feed full of assholes anymore.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's horrible.
Well, I mean, aside from you guys, of course, but.
I think it was even horrible that he even had to post these pictures of these credentials and these things, and, which is one of the reasons why people kind of were up in arms a little bit. And he kind of showed his request for employment, I guess, by DC or whatever.
Yeah.
And the reason why people were talking about this is because there was three boxes that were checked, and one of them said we do not have record of the individual, and a release was not provided from the individual. And it's like, I guess that means that he wasn't in the CIA, I guess people were kind of saying. So they were kind of wondering, well, did this guy really have credentials in the CIA? But the whole thing is, if for the people would be talking trash on him in the first place, and then he has to go and turn around and post pictures of, you know, him out there in the Middle East during his time of service and showing his credentials. Dude, it's just so asinine that he even has to do anything like that. I would have, you know, preferred him not even to post and just forget about those people. Like you said, just block them and forget them. Don't even post anything. You don't have a reason to prove anything of yourself to anyone. And it has nothing to do with your comic books. You know, you're writing comic books for entertainment. It has nothing to do with your personal life or your former employers or whatever it is. You're just writing something to make people happy monthly, weekly, or whatever by reading a comic book.
So I gotta say, I don't know if you guys heard Ronnie and Aaron on Absolute DC, but they had Daryl on. And of course, Daryl's friends with Tom, so he's got some inside knowledge. I recommend you go listen to that if you haven't, because they had a really long, in-depth discussion about this. But the thing is, like, you're right, and this is a previous employment thing, but there are situations in which, and I think this might be one of the topics, so it could be a segue, but there are situations in which you kind of have to get ahead of the ball before things kind of snowball out of control. I don't know if you have – was that thing in the rundown, in the list of topics, the border town thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so. See, great segue. Segue
master. Great segue. As we had to stop in the middle of the segue, I'd be like, I'm doing this right, right? This is right.
Look, I don't take notes. I don't know. Joey told me. I was like, yeah, cool.
Yeah, because see, that's the one thing. I've kind of heard bits and pieces about this border town thing. So, you know, just my current life and my job and all that. I don't get the extracurricular stuff. My comics are my escape, and I don't get to hear all this peripheral stuff on it. But I kind of heard that he did something bad, and now he's not doing the book, and they're not going to finish the book.
So
and
I guess I'll kind of lead this one off, yeah, because I typically avoid this type of news. Because it typically isn't going to affect me. But Martin, you're the one that brought this up in a group conversation. I saw it, but because I was really digging Border Town, it did matter to me. And you asked the question, you know, I forget how you phrased it, but like, you know, will somebody, you know, well, how somebody is in real life affect whether or not you get their work?
Yes.
And sometimes it can, sometimes it can. And with this situation, especially with the fact that I looked at Border Town as a book that, you know, there were multiple reasons that I liked it. The thing that drew me in was the artist. I really like his art. I like the subject matter. But then you also add the social political commentary in it. It makes what the people represent mean more. And in this case, the writer turned out to be a real douchebag. Yeah. And a lot of stuff came out about him, which it did. It ruined my ability to like the book. But that's still not the most important thing. The most important thing is the negative impact that he had on people, on his own culture, on, you know, what he's trying to represent. Like, there were all these things that were very impactful, but, you know, DC scrapped the book. His co-creators both said that they were not going to continue doing it with him when they found out what his past was. I'll let somebody else go more in depth on the details because I'll probably stumble over it.
But it was verified, validated, not rumor, not.
Yes. So here's the problem. So an anonymous woman came up and wrote a blog post about an experience she had with her store manager when she was working at a comic book store. He was the comic book store manager and went kind of in-depth in a blog post on Blogger of all places. I don't even know that was still around. About the sexual abuse that she suffered at the hands of this guy. Where he's like, here, take a look at my thing. And she's like, hey, I don't know. He's like, yeah, it's cool. You know, just come closer. And things escalated, didn't go very well. Apparently, he was in an open relationship with a woman who knew about this whole situation. Things kind of died down a little bit when he moved out of this town. She never named him by name in the blog post, but I guess she saw him. He would try to call her and they would chat or whatever and try to have phone sex with her, and she kind of wasn't having it. But they were friends and she didn't really know how to react, and then they were guests at the same convention. And that's kind of when I started putting the pieces together, and I think a few other people did, before it became public news as to who it was. Because, I mean, you can easily check a guest list on a convention, and if you say, well, like, this guy's got a Vertigo book and he's going to be at this convention, and he's the only guy with a Vertigo book at that convention, then you know who it is, right? So things started escalating a little bit. I think some other people chimed in, and it was a very small story for a few days. I was actually pretty surprised. I talked to Paul about it. For a couple days straight, I talked to Daryl about it to see if he knew anything about it, and there was nothing. There was nothing even on comic book news sites, and I was very surprised about that. And then all of a sudden, you had the creative team on the book, Tamara, and I can't remember the name of the writer, but kind of
Ramon.
Ramon, there you go, Ramon.
Eric's the writer. Ramon's the artist.
Yeah. Well, yes, Eric's the guy that's being accused. Mm-hmm. And things kind of went downhill from there. And the thing is, you knew something was happening, right? Because the guy had deleted his Facebook. He wasn't like anywhere but Twitter. And then his Twitter account was locked. So you can only see his tweets if you followed him. He wasn't like bringing in new followers or anything like that. And he was dead silent.
And he deleted
days.
All his tweets.
And he deleted his tweets. So it was kind of fishy. And then finally it kind of came out after Tamara and Ramon said something. I guess DC investigated it and decided to cancel the book after, I guess, 4 issues came out. So 5 and 6 were never coming out.
Okay.
It's kind of a shame though, because I mean, Paul's right. The book's important. It did say some really interesting things about, Latinx culture and society on the border. And you know, the border's a hot topic now.
Tell me about it, man. That's where I live.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the book was doing something important, and to have that be ruined by the fact that this guy is a fucking weasel, it's kind of a damn shame.
Yeah, so should you – okay, so I guess the question is, should you drown out that voice, that, you know, message he had to give because of this other aspect of his character?
And I think for me, that's kind of where the situation gets a little murky, right? Because had this been a book that was already finished that I really enjoyed, I mean, I already bought it, you know what I mean? And I enjoyed it. So why have that bad conscious feeling in my brain that I supported this book? I mean, it's done, right? But the thing is, the book was still ongoing. And that's why I asked the question, like, should I still support this guy? Because he's not the only one making the comic, right? There's 6 other people making this book.
Yeah. So, yeah, but they've actively taken themselves out of it.
Sure.
So they've kind of made the decision for you.
Yes.
Yeah, but
yes.
Do you guys think that somebody else can have that same voice that he had and bring it to the book?
Well, the thing is,
I don't think you could have somebody take over the title. That wouldn't work. And if you look at the message he's saying, which is the question Dennis asked, the problem is that he disrupted his credibility, which if mm-hmm. his credibility is in question, then like, how are you going to take this other serious statement from him if he has no credibility? So it ruins right. it from that perspective, because you can't – he has no credibility. You know, he's destroyed that. So it doesn't matter what he said, and if he was getting onto something, like, it not only does it hurt this book and him trying to say the message in the book, but it also hurts everybody else that's trying to do that. So, like, the fact that he has this past and then did this book and he has no credibility. Now, when other people try to carry the same social message on, that this is something that the douchebags we were talking about a moment ago in a different way will use to poke holes in people that are credible.
So yeah. it's like if you go to church and your preacher is preaching to you about don't do drugs, you know, prostitutes are evil, and then you find out in the news that he's, you know, banging it out with some transvestite hooker in a motel somewhere.
So it's your basic do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But it does ruin your reputation, right? You can't really trust what this guy's trying to do, regardless of how good the message is, if he maybe isn't the most upstanding person.
So if you have a bad, you know, if there's something wrong with your character and your reputation and all that, you don't have a message that you can put out there that benefits society, you know, some aspect, or everything's tainted.
I mean, I don't know.
Everything's tainted.
You can, but I mean, you taint it, right? It's a first impression thing.
Yeah, it's always going to be situational too. So you can't say that like this is a definite in every situation, but like in this situation, you know, he was a real scummy piece of shit that hurt people. And he also, when it came out and he had the opportunity to say something, he was real chicken shit about it. If you're a scummy piece of shit and you really believe in something that actually is important, the best thing you could do is stay the fuck away from it so you don't hurt it. You know, so I mean, him trying to be socially active in this way without ever having addressed the demons in his past, it is not good. It hurts the good things that he tried to be involved in just because he tried to be involved in it because he's a lying asshole.
Yeah. So the message he was trying to give out, along the border and that whole thing. So, you know, what's a brief synopsis of what Border Town was trying to tell us?
I mean, basically,
what's the social message?
It went into like race relations between whites and non-whites. It dealt a lot with Latin culture in the area, Latin mythology, and use those things as an allegory for race relations on the border.
Okay. So did the race relations that he experienced drive him to the position that he's in now?
That I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that would be really difficult to try to speak that strong message, and then you got this kind of past. I see how Paul can say, you know, it's got holes in it, and maybe nobody else could pick it back up and, you know, kind of pick up the reins and kind of, you know, steer this stagecoach in the right direction, you know what I mean? Because of all the holes that's in it. It's riddled with holes now, and it's sad because I really like that message. That's a great message because I you know, I hear it almost every day on the news because I'm so close to it. I'm on, you know, the Arizona border. And it's such a big impact on the culture here in Arizona, and that would have been such a great message. But you know, just like you guys said, when you got something like this in your past, and you're trying to portray this strong message, you can't have skeletons like that in your closet. You almost gotta be a Boy Scout to kind of have something like this that's gonna be impactful. And it's really sad to see, just sad to hear something like that.
Yeah, and the thing is, it was going to be important for Latinx writers too, right? Because there's not a whole many big name Latin writers, right? Like the industry is still dominated by white males mostly. And there's a bunch of female writers coming up of all races and ethnicities and sexual orientations. You've got a lot of African Americans coming in as well. But there's not a whole lot of Latin folks, right? Like this was the first guy that was doing this big book that was getting a lot of buzz from creators and from reviewers that really liked the book, and it was doing something important. Matter of fact, I think he was supposed to be co-writing a big DC book because he was going to take it over afterwards. And of course, that's not going to happen anymore, right? So not only does it put back a book that a lot of people liked, but it also sets back maybe some of these relationships within the industry on Latinx creators.
Yeah, so his career is basically ruined.
Oh, yeah.
And that's horrible too, man, because, you know, I'm Latino, and that'd be awesome to have something like that in the comic book industry, because you're right. There's not a lot out there. I'm sure there is out there. There's a handful out there, but that would have been something amazing to see, you know, come about, especially the direction that he was going in. He was doing so well with this book, and then he was going to be doing another book. That would have been amazing to see.
So can he redeem himself, or is he just, you know, you're finished in the industry, you can never come back?
I don't know, man. I highly doubt it. For one thing, he is guilty of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But then you also suffer from the court of public opinion too, right? I mean, you have people that go to jail for murders they didn't commit. And when they come out, you say like, oh yeah, I'm such and such. I'm here to get this job. And you're like, well, aren't you the guy that killed that kid? Well, no, I was found not guilty. I spent 20 years in prison. I'm not guilty. Yeah, you're that guy that killed that kid though. Right? It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean,
oh yeah, that life's not fair.
Thing's gonna be there. Yeah, that social thing is gonna be there. Everybody's always gonna see him as, oh, you're that rapist, or you're that sexual abuser. You know what I mean? But people can be forgiven. People can make up for their mistakes. But because of the position that he held, the position that he was in, people aren't gonna take him serious, especially when he was writing a serious book. I don't see him continuing in his position at all.
Okay. So, you know, I've bought the book. Martin's bought the book. Paul has and all that. So what do we do with them? We've got these issues. It's not, the story's not going to be finished. They're just there.
They're just there in my Comixology account.
Oh, well, I have physical copies, so. Damn it. That issue, having physical copies again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know about that, man. That's a hard one. I haven't read the book. I was going to begin starting to read the book, and then I heard all this stuff because I was like, oh, this book's starting to kick off. When I first heard about it, I didn't think it was anything good. I was like, oh, man, just another cliche book. You know what I mean? Then I heard about all the good stuff about it, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, like you said, Martin, it came out of nowhere. And I was like, well, I don't know if I want to read this now.
No, but it is a great book. The art was great. The story pulled you in. The characters were well developed and very interesting. And it's just, you know, you're torn. I kind of want to see it finished. But then it's like, you don't want to give props to the guy that did this to this woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, but again, the book's out, right? And you've bought what's out, so you can't regret that decision, right?
No, I don't regret it. But now it's like, but, you know, part of me wants it finished. but it's you know maybe the outline is written, mm-hmm. but it's still not going to have the same voice, and it's just mm-hmm. you know it's basically dead.
Sure, so. But yeah, it's like when Mel Gibson was outed as being an anti-Semite. Like it doesn't change the fact that he's done some amazing movies, right?
True.
Yeah,
and he's starting to make some more.
Sure.
Yeah, and so. Yeah, it doesn't mean that this guy's not a great writer, right? He's not horrible, but I mean, maybe he is horrible, but not a horrible writer. You know?
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so maybe in 15 years they'll finish it.
Doubtful. Very doubtful. You got to remember too. This is comics, dude. People remember things for a very long time.
Yeah, I know. But you know, they put out that last issue of Ghost Rider like 9 years later. They put out the last two issues of Shield. Like,
yeah,
6 years later. So it happens on occasion, but the odds don't favor it.
Yep. All right. What's our next topic?
I've got a question for you guys because I don't really know too much about this next topic. Maybe mm-hmm. you guys do. And this is a question that I've always wanted to kind of ask somebody, but I didn't want to sound stupid. And I was like, well, what the heck is this anyway? My question for you guys is, what the heck is Comicsgate anyway?
Oh, God. I've heard like 3 or 4 different versions of it. And I'm not even sure I know what it is because it seems to just be this ever changing. I don't
it's
know.
So weird. I got asked on Twitter the other day or about a week ago. They're like, are you a part of the Comicsgate community? I was like, well, what the heck is that anyway? I kind of looked it up and I, you know, looked it up on Wikipedia and even the Wikipedia is unsure of what this is.
Well, I'll give you the reason for that. And the reason for that is very simple in that Comicsgate doesn't know what Comicsgate is. So okay. If they don't know, then nobody else can know. And I think the term is somewhat of a misnomer. I'm not a gator, but I think there are people that follow this hashtag that do have genuine concerns for the comic industry. And there are people who are following this hashtag because they can use it to get people to see the stupid crap that they can say online. And there are people who are following the hashtag just because they can make money off of stupid people that will follow whatever they say.
So it's a trigger word.
Yes. Yes. So to basically, from what I gather, there's maybe a couple of basic tenets. One is that they want comics to just be fun and just be comics like they were back in the day, which doesn't make sense because comics were never just that. Comics have always been political. They don't want comics to be political. Comics have always included women and minorities, maybe not to the extent that they do now, but they always have. Those kind of things is what they don't want. Basically, a lot of these guys just want old white guys to write their comics. And that's
how I understood it. It was like almost a diversity backlash.
Yes.
And it's like, make comics like they were in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s when I was reading comics.
Except a lot of these folks were not alive during the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Yeah, but that's what I don't know. It just ended up being that whole diversity backlash of forcing characters in. And, you know, I mean, from my understanding, it came out when you had the female Thor, you had the Miles Morales Spider-Man, you had, it seemed almost directed like at Marvel more than anything, if I'm not mistaken, by, you know, them. You know, I think the topic was like forcing diversity into the comics, and you know, DC had done some, and maybe they did it better, but it just seemed to be just more Marvel centric and just the outright, just you know, and it was also I don't even think it was like, diversity part of it was also like younger, like making these younger versions or these younger characters of you know replacements in there, and
yeah, like Miles Morales or Ironheart or. Amadeus Cho, any of those characters, yeah.
Yeah, that, and then, I mean, did it go off the rail when it was like, then they made the Falcon was Captain America, and just all this stuff.
So I think initially, maybe it started off as partially that, but over time, it has brought in a shadier element, I guess you could say, and things just kind of go downhill. Everything just ends up being a political discussion. It always does end up being that diversity thing. Cause you know, you have a lot of like, gay and lesbian and just the LGBTQ community coming in. There's a few transgender writers now, and I guess they just don't want that. They don't want that in their comics. They just want comics to be what they always have been. And that's completely crazy, because if that were the case, then we wouldn't have 90% of the comic book characters that we have. We wouldn't have the diversity of publishers and genres and types of stories that we have in comics. It would just be Batman and Superman and the Avengers, and that would be all you have on the stands. And that would be incredibly boring.
I agree. Batman is incredibly boring.
You know what, Paul? You know what?
Well, no, Paul, because they wouldn't want turtles in their comics either.
I know, it'd be terrible.
See?
You know what? I hate those turtles. How about that, Paul?
but you have to love the samurai rabbit.
Yes, you do. Paul, you need to get Joey to read some little samurai rabbits.
Yeah, I gotta get him to read more Ninja Turtles first.
That's true.
No, you know what? No. I'm gonna read Batman first.
But I just don't get it, man. And you know, Dennis, you follow a lot of indie books. And you know that a lot of the more interesting stuff in comics always starts coming out in the indie titles.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Before it gets to the mainstream.
And I know, and they've got all the, you know, the diversity and everything like that. I mean, I still think it was a backlash against how Marvel was doing it because, and I don't think it happened with DC because, I don't know. Okay, so, you know, just to backtrack a little bit right now, I'm starting almost to have a little bit of issues with the way DC's doing it, because when I came up in DC, it was like my Flash was Wally West, my Green Lantern was Kyle Rayner, and all of that. Now they've, you know, spoiler alert, killed Wally West, and, you know, Kyle's on the Titans, and he's not even with the Corps and everything like that. So I'm like, it's like, what are you doing to my, you know, my characters? And you've brought them in, and, you know, there's like a Lobo's daughter and all that, but I think they, I don't know, DC kind of did the long game when they were putting, you know, diverse characters or updates to their characters in their books, as opposed to Marvel, where it just seemed like it was like an overnight replacement. And I think that was some of the backlash and stuff and changing things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, DC's been doing it since like the 70s, right? When you started bringing in the Titans as a separate team, as opposed to just being sidekicks of whatever, right? Green Arrow or Batman or Superman or anybody else. And so it's been a long time coming, and those characters have developed on their own. Whereas, yeah, Marvel hasn't been as good about that. They just bring these characters into the mainline book and they replace whatever the main character is. That I understand that mentality of people not wanting those things to change. But at the same time, like, dude, like, as a Batman fan, how long can Bruce Wayne be Batman? You know what I mean? Like, he's been Batman for 80 years.
I know. That's Forever. Called a Lazarus pit.
Forever.
Well, you know, in Batman Beyond, he retires in 2019.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No.
Yes, he does.
He will never retire. He will always live on.
Listen, I'm just telling you what Batman Beyond said.
Oh, Paul, amen. I think we're going to have to stand back and let him, like, fight this one out.
Hey, but you know, I still, even after you guys are still talking about this, I still don't understand what the heck this is about. Maybe I can take a stab at it a little bit. Sounds to me like, you know, the comics gate is holding everybody back from moving forward. You know, we all change. I mean, there may be some people who don't believe in change, but you know, you change. You change with the times. Batman doesn't change, but you know, he's Batman. I don't want him to change. Anyway,
Batman does change. You shut your mouth. Yeah.
He changes. No, he shows his penis.
He changes from his suit.
Yeah,
his suit.
He shows his penis now.
No, but there should be a cycle in that. It's like Bruce Wayne should be retired. Grayson should be Batman.
Yes,
training Damian should be training Damian to take over in the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, Joe, think about that, dude. We've had Dick as Batman. We've had Damian as Batman for one issue, but he was Batman for one issue.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, I think they have to do it, right? Like, you maybe couldn't do it with a character like Superman. That might be a little tougher. Yeah. But most of these other guys,
I do like that aspect, though. I do like that. That's a great idea. I love that. That'd be really cool to see a book like that. That would be awesome. Let's do that book.
Yeah, we've done that book. It's called Grant Morrison.
No, let's do it now.
All right, bring Grant back. Hashtag bring Grant back. That's what I say.
Let's do that. Bring Grant back on all kinds of books. What are you talking about?
Yes, he should write every DC book.
I mean, there's only certain characters you can happen to. It's like you said, Superman, because of the yellow sun, is he immortal now? You know, Wonder Woman empowered, but you know, those aren't, but it's like you should eventually see Hal Jordan retiring. You should eventually see Green Arrow retiring.
Well, dude, and it's happened. I mean, Alan Scott hasn't been Green Lantern in what, like 40 years.
No, I agree. But but that was a natural progression. And I think maybe that's part of it. It's like, you know, we're stalled. It's stalled. Yeah. It's like they can't move on like they did. I mean, they did. He had the golden age when he had all those characters, and superheroes went, you know, capes and cowls went out of fashion, and he had a gap. And to bring them back, you had to make them more science based. And that's when you got the Barry Allen Flash. You got the Hal Jordan Green Lantern. You got the new versions, except for like Superman and Batman continued on, because those characters didn't have that comics code authority or that break in. And it was mostly DC that had that break in like the 50s when it went to Westerns and romance and everything. You still had Action Comics and Detective Comics and Batman and Superman continuing on,
yeah,
and some Wonder Woman. But the rest of everybody else had a break. And so,
that's kind of the flaw with that's just inherent with the shared universes and the big two is, I mean, of course they could eventually fail, but like realistically right now, we don't see Marvel or DC going anywhere. They have these huge histories. So there's no reset point. And you look at like, you know, just thinking of Ninja Turtles as another example, they can still be engaging to read because you know what? They restarted 7 years ago when IDW relaunched it.
I mean, was that a hard reboot?
It basically was, it started retelling the story again. And even though there's only one volume of the Ninja Turtles that isn't considered canon, stuff changes between the volumes and there's a little bit of flexibility to it. You're telling the same story in a different way, but they could also take it different places because there is that flexibility. If Batman was Batman and wasn't linked to anything else, you could at some point just stop it and then just start it again. Tell the same story with some changes and make it different in, but while still having similarities and still being Batman. But because it's constantly ongoing, you can't completely get rid of Bruce Wayne. Cause you know what? Like when I started reading comics, like and really got into comics, which was like what, seven or eight years ago now, like Batman was Bruce Wayne. It didn't matter whatever happened in the comics. Like I grew up Batman as Batman, Batman as Bruce Wayne. Now that I've read a bunch of comics, I see there's times that somebody else has been Batman, but coming into it, that didn't make it, you know, that like, that wasn't the case. So, you know, like, X-Men's a better example for how it can be confusing. I try to pick up X-Men books when I first get into comics. I don't know what the hell to pick up. I don't know what's going on. The stuff's all over the place. Now that I'm reading it now and I'm back at, I think I'm on issue 223, but I started with 94. So I've read 140 or 130-ish issues of X-Men, issue after issue. So I've seen all these ebbs and flows and changes. And like, it kind of struck me when I realized like, man, like most of the team has been put on the shelf or is gone. And it just kind of happens slowly over time. So there's something great about that. But over a longer and longer and longer period of time, it gets harder to like tell interesting stories, but you still can't just throw away those basic things because everybody that hasn't been reading all those stories are going to come in and not know what the heck's going on.
Yeah. Well,
and then a lot of people are just going to walk away at that point.
Yeah. Well, I guess it boils down to me is the problem, or what Comicsgate boils down to me is, and it's not a problem, but you have people that consider the narrative the primary focus, and you have others that consider the character, right? So the narrative mm-hmm. should have characters aging, moving on. You got the next generation, but then you have the characters. It's like, they can only be this one person. You can't change that. And I think it's that fight between the narrative and the character, what drives it. And it seems like now it's currently the character.
Well, I think part of the problem is the amount of people reading comics isn't what it used to be. And in order to keep the audience that you already have, you instinctually cannot make major changes. You can make small changes to fit a new narrative, but ultimately it still has to be that character because the people that are reading comics now are the people that have been reading comics for 20, 30 years. There's not a whole giant influx of new readers coming in. That's why everyone wants to do young adult lines and kids lines and stuff because they want to get a different audience coming in. That audience is not there now.
So is maybe that's when comics crossed over into different media, because you know, say comics never became movies, then the general population, you know, the Joe Schmo, it's like Batman is Bruce Wayne because of, you know, you know, from the movies, the TV show in the 60s and all that, you know, it has to be that way because, hey, there's this movie, there's this TV series from the 60s. It's Bruce Wayne. There's these movies in the 70s of it's Clark Kent. And then you've got 89. Oh, yeah, it's Bruce Wayne, all that. And it's, you know, you've kind of almost gone pop culture with it. And it has to be that character.
But those people don't buy comics.
True. But are those, are they the ones, complaining on Comicsgate?
Nope.
That's not my Batman.
Nope. They're not.
Nope.
That's why they make the changes.
Comicsgate is essentially people wanting things to be the way that they want it and trying to accomplish that. Like the negative side of it, at least, is trying to accomplish making things the way they want it to be by harassing people. And just like with the Tom King situation that we discussed, they're not necessarily targeting what they actually don't like because at a certain point, they know they don't have a leg to stand on with trying to say this needs to be exactly how I want it to be. So they attack other issues to try to attack the people that don't fit the mold they want them to fit.
Yeah.
That's basically what Comicsgate has. The nicest way to say it is that's what Comicsgate has turned into in the grander scope of things.
I think I'd have to agree with that, you know, because we see that all the time. You know, people want to give their opinion, and then the first time that somebody doesn't share that opinion, they start crapping on those people. And that's just, you see that a whole lot. I've listened to plenty of podcasts where people do that, and I unsubscribe from those guys because I'm just like, you guys are just negative. You guys are horrible. You guys are bashing everybody and anybody that doesn't share the same opinion as you do. The whole reason we have opinions is because they're our own. Nobody has to share the same opinion as each of us. We all have our own individual minds and thoughts, and we've lived different lives, and we've done things that other people haven't done because we're our own individuals. You don't have to share my opinion, and I don't want you to, frankly, you know what I mean? Because it's mine. It's mine. It's probably the only thing that in my life that I can have that nobody else can have.
Yeah, but I need to convert you over to my opinion.
Well, that's the thing, right? You can have your opinion as long as it's my opinion, right? That's what the problem is. And it shouldn't be that way. We should all be allowed to express our opinions and disagree in a friendly manner. And we can't do that. And you know, maybe part of the blame is social media, who knows. But you know, as long as you respect other people's opinions, we wouldn't have this problem.
Right. Yeah, so that's that. I think now that that we've had this conversation, I think I am a little bit more understanding to what Comicsgate is.
I'm glad you are. I still don't know.
Well, I just kind of ignore it.
Opinion.
Yeah, just I think it's, yeah. Follow Dennis. Just ignore it.
I just ignore it and just read comics and enjoy them.
Exactly. I think that's going to be our motto for this episode. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next topic. Did you guys watch Elseworlds?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
The big thing that excited me was, and I think it was the best episode, was the Arrow episode. And who showed up in that one?
Oh, you mean the theme song from Smallville?
Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I was hoping we were going to see the old school guys there. No, Batwoman.
Yes.
Batwoman showed up, right?
Yes.
Yep.
So I heard that Batwoman it got greenlit for a CW pilot. Did you guys hear this?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. How are you guys excited about that?
I am, but I don't know if it can live up to my expectations.
I am. However, I'm not sure the right actress is in place.
Okay.
And
I did not like the way she played. I like the way she played Batwoman. I don't like the way she played Kate Kane.
Yes. Yes. And that's maybe part of my reservations. Although here's the thing though, right? I think part of the problem is she didn't have a whole lot of prep time for this role.
Mm.
Right? Like, they knew that this was coming months in advance, and I'm sure they filmed it months in advance. But I think from the time they decided to bring Batwoman in to the time that she was actually on set filming, there wasn't a whole lot of prep, a whole lot of training, a whole lot of time to kind of maybe read some of the back matter. Because, I mean, say what you will about Steve Amell doing Arrow. I mean, the guy is a freaking comic book nerd, right? Like he loves the comics. And I think it's become more obvious over the years as they keep doing these events, that he's kind of, I mean, he's not the guy in charge, right? That's Berlanti, but it's very obvious that he has a very strong say in the direction of all these shows. In particular, Flash and Arrow, right? Maybe not so much Legends, because Legends does what Legends does. And that's why it's the best CW show.
And that's why we love the Legends.
Yeah, Legends is the
I
best.
I don't know about that.
You're wrong. It's okay. Your opinion is wrong. You must follow my opinion.
We just had that discussion.
So answer me this. What kind of Gotham is this? Because I don't know if we've ever seen this kind of Gotham.
Riddle me this.
Right? Dude. Because... All right, so you're sitting there seeing where, like, citizens have armed guards. Bruce Wayne has left. Wayne Industries looks kind of in disarray. Batman's left and all that. So you're sitting there saying it's not your Batwoman, but I don't know if we've seen this Batwoman.
So I didn't say it wasn't my Batwoman. I just think that she didn't have enough prep time as an actress for the role. That's all I said. In terms of Batwoman, I think she was fine.
I think the only way that I can get into this Batwoman show is if they – give it to us as a Elseworlds show. Now, because obviously it was an Elseworlds story. Like you said, Batman's gone. This is a different kind of Gotham that we've seen. A whole different kind of story that we've seen altogether, right?
So it is on Arrow and Flash's
On Earth
world.
One.
It is on Earth One. Yeah. So.
Yes, which is very I kind of wish – well, so that's cool because we know that there was a Batman and that there could be a open door there per se sometime in the near future, hopefully, that we could see a Batman. I don't know. Maybe not. But I don't know if I like this story of the Gotham that we saw.
So I really dug it because, as you may remember, Joey, from our Titans conversation, to me, this Gotham felt like a post-Killing Joke Gotham. Where Batman just kind of lost it as a result of whatever happened in this particular Gotham. That doesn't follow the Killing Joke comics. It follows, what if Gordon was actually killed, right? Or Barbara was actually killed. How would that influence Batman? And that's something that I think is kind of being played around with the comics now. Not so much as a direct relation to Killing Joke, but just the way that Bane is treating Batman in the comics, right? And something that Titans played around with quite a bit, and I really enjoyed it as a result, not knowing why Bruce left and why Wayne Industries is gone, doesn't really bother me, because it's not about Bruce Wayne and Wayne Industries, it's about Batwoman. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but I guess what got me is that seems so out of character for Batman.
Well, is it?
To give up on Gotham?
I mean, maybe he didn't give up on Gotham. Maybe he's been doing this thing for whatever 30 years, and something happened to him physically.
But didn't they change the timeline, and that's not a part of it anymore, though?
In the CW stuff,
yeah, like obviously that was a part of the story, but
yeah, because
everything got fixed and put back together. Is that?
Well, isn't Green Arrow Green Arrow the original vigilante?
Well, that's what Steve Amell says.
From my understanding, was that, you know, at the end of that, all three of the shows, that everything got put back together the way it was. And so my understanding is that there could be a Batman still in Gotham, and this Gotham that we saw is not as much in disarray as we saw. At least that's the way I thought.
I thought Gotham was already that way before who was the doctor again? I'm going to call him Dr. Destiny. Before Dr. Destiny got the book from the monitor, Gotham was the way it was. He played around with the book, blah, blah, blah. They did their thing, and everything's returned to normal, which is Gotham in this state. There's, you know, Batman's an urban legend created by the GCPD, and it's very unknown. The Flash doesn't know if he's real. The Arrow doesn't know if he's real.
No, I don't think that's the case, because Green Arrow mentioned Bruce Wayne last season. Or maybe
he mentioned Bruce Wayne, didn't mention the Batman.
Well, yes, because they're treating it as an urban legend. But with Bruce Wayne being there, we can assume, I think, that if Bruce Wayne is there and Batman is an urban legend, then Batman is there, right? Just like nobody outside of Gotham knows about it because...
No, I agree. I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. It's just it just seems from outside of Gotham, it's an urban legend.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's because he works in the shadows. And even though
which things, is what he's supposed to do,
of course. But even though things were reset, I think there's still going to have to be something that happens for Kate to be Batwoman and for that Batwoman show to exist.
Yeah.
Right?
For them to not have Batman show up.
Yes. So there has to be something that happens between last season of Arrow and whenever this Batwoman show premieres that explains Kate taking over the mantle of Batman.
Okay. So that makes you excited for the show then?
Absolutely. Oh, I'm excited for the show. I'm just concerned about her acting. Well. That's all.
Well, with enough prep time,
she should be able to do it. Sure. I liked it. I liked her.
Oh, yeah. No, she was great as Batwoman.
Mm-hmm.
But if you notice, they did kind of go around some of her scenes, right? Like, you don't really see her fighting except for maybe a couple moves that she does. She doesn't talk a whole lot. It was kind of very quickly put together, maybe.
I don't know. She landed on top of the car. threw a batarang.
Mm-hmm.
Did some stuff with the grappling hook, and that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a little. Then there was a little world's finest conversation.
That was my favorite part of the episode.
But yeah, there wasn't much Batwoman.
Yeah, that's true.
Not at all.
Yep.
There was definitely more Kate Kane.
Which less was more.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, that was a great episode.
That's awesome. But are you guys excited about who's going to be running this thing? Who's going to be directing this thing?
Who's pilot, directing?
At least. So.
Oh, Kevin Smith.
Somebody named David Nutter, and he worked on Game of Thrones and a handful of other things.
Oh, that explains why they were saying Game of Thrones might be delayed. Okay, gotcha.
So
why would it be delayed? They already got it all filmed.
Who knows? That's, you know how people get. I think I've said this before. I don't give two craps about Game of Thrones, so I couldn't even tell you if he's any good or not.
No, I enjoy it and all that. Maybe Game of Thrones is being delayed because I got to get that new AI out that checks to see if you're sharing your password with people.
Yes.
So that, you know, you get rid of the Netflix and the HBO Go that's where the sharing passwords thing that they showed at CES.
Yep.
Hey, man. How the heck are they going to tell? They can't tell crap.
Oh, you can tell.
Oh, you can tell.
You can tell.
Very
can tell.
Easily. You
cannot tell if you're sharing a password. No.
Yep.
You can.
I don't believe
that.
I don't believe
that. Dude, it's
that
very
at all.
Easy. All they got to do is look at your IP address. They look at your IP.
That's bullcrap.
Your IP tells you exactly where in the world you are. If I log into my account in New York and you log into my account in California, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
they track you to see where you take your vacations, where you visit family, so they know he never travels to New York. So why would somebody be accessing his HBO Go account from New York?
See? Bam. Dennis gets it.
All right. All right, Martin. I'm going to have to stop using your account.
So that's why Game of Thrones is delayed. So they're just implementing it so they can't share passwords anymore.
There you go. So if we're going to be talking about Netflix, did you guys hear about the Marvel Netflix TV shows clause?
Yes.
That is very interesting.
It is. You want to explain it?
So the Marvel Netflix shows, we've got, what is it? We got Iron Fist, the other ones, who cares, whatever they're called, whatever. Anyway, they have a 2-year no appearance clause anywhere, right? So we're not going to see these characters show up anywhere. And I thought this was pretty interesting because it kind of made me think a little bit. We got this 2-year no appearance clause. Does that mean that after 2 years, we're going to see them show up like on the Disney streaming service or whatever?
Nope.
When does the 2 year start?
And so I guess 2 years from, what was it, October and November, I believe, the 2018.
Are you allowed to binge the 2 years, though?
Well, the shows are staying on Netflix in perpetuity, right? Because Netflix paid for the shows, so they're always
they paid for
be
the
on
shows.
It. Yeah,
so I would think they would own it.
The shows are always going to be on Netflix. What Marvel can't do is
shows
put,
are going to stay there.
Yeah, Marvel can't put like Daredevil in Avengers Infinity War 15 unless it's after 2 years.
Is that why the movies never crossed over much with the shows?
Who knows why they do that?
I think so. I think it's because, you know, money. They don't want, you know, they want to keep the money in Netflix.
I want to see Daredevil in a movie, like in the Marvel Universe, so bad now. Thank you, Martin, for making me suffer for at least 2 years.
Oh, just think of what DC could do. Just think about that right now. I mean, I know we're getting way off the topic of what you want to talk about, the whole Netflix thing. But look at the opportunity of this if, like, DC was doing, you know, the movie characters were appearing on the DC app shows and everything, and they were crossovering with, like, some of the CW stuff and everything like that. Oh, God. Oh, it'd be so awesome.
Yeah, that's not going to happen just because of the way that rights distribution works. That's not going to happen.
I know, but you got to admit it would be awesome.
It would be awesome. I agree. I think this 2 year clause makes sense because of the fact that Netflix paid for the shows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think it's like one of those things where you're holding Disney hostage, right? It's just like, hey, we paid for this stuff. It's ours. We're going to get as much money as we can out of it.
Yep, exactly. But I guess does the clause say that then after 2 years you could use the same actors and everything?
I don't think it includes the actors. It's just reverting the distribution rights of the characters back to Disney. I don't see them reusing the same actors, though.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I would love to see D'Onofrio play Kingpin for the rest of his life. He's freaking brilliant.
Yeah, man. He is Kingpin, right?
Yeah, he's freaking brilliant. He is the best part of that show.
He's brilliant in anything that he does, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I love who they've got. I can't think of the actor's name for Daredevil, though.
Something Hunnam. Charlie Hunnam?
Yep. And I love Barenthal as Punisher.
That's not him. No, Charlie Hunnam is the guy from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, Sons of Anarchy. That's right.
Yeah.
Charlie Cox, dude.
There you go.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So I think they cast Daredevil great, and I think they cast Punisher great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Luke Cage, the guy physically looks, I mean, that's how I am. You know, they cast the characters great, you know, and it'd be a shame if they couldn't move over.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't see them moving the same actors over, but who knows? These shows are not going to be on Disney, though.
You don't think so?
No, Disney execs have already said that they're not doing these shows on their Disney app.
Okay.
So
I think the only one that has not been pulled yet is Punisher. I mean, obviously, they're going to come out with the second season.
Well, and Jessica Jones.
I was about to say they have canceled Jessica Jones season 3.
I think they have. Yes, they've pulled Jessica Jones.
No, I would have seen that. Yes, are you sure?
Somebody wanted to look that up. I think I did read that they pulled Jessica Jones.
Breaking news.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I believe that I read that they pulled Jessica Jones. But anyway, while one of you guys is looking that up for me, I was reading also that because Punisher has not been pulled, Punisher does not, it's not very clear that Punisher has if Punisher has this clause in their contract. So Punisher could continue. If it does get canceled, they may not have this 2 year no appearance clause. So we could possibly see him in something different if somebody does want to pursue that, which would kind of be cool.
So Jessica Jones has not been canceled.
Oh.
Okay. However, the assumption still remains after Punisher season 2 and Jessica Jones season 3, those will be canceled.
Oh, so they're funding the Jessica Jones season 3.
The Punisher's been done. Punisher ended filming in like September, October.
Oh, yeah. Well, the trailer just dropped a week or so ago.
Yeah. And I think Jessica Jones has been filming. I don't think it's wrapped up yet.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So, yeah. Awesome. So those are in the works just because the money's been spent.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
So I guess, I mean, what's the end game we're getting with the 2 year clause, that, you know, we're going to see these shows transition over to the Disney, or then they're going to start appearing in the movies, or because the MCU seems to be going more cosmic, so I don't know how these street-level shows translate to the cosmic unless they're going to have, like, two things going at once,
well,
street-level and cosmic.
They've already announced in Phase 4 they're doing a Shang-Chi movie, so it's not all going to be cosmic.
Yeah, I mean, Ant-Man and Wasp was just kind of quite, you know, excused from the Avengers movie, so that way they could do their thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't seen that yet, so I still got to see that.
Well,
so,
maybe you should see it before you talk about it, Dennis. How about that?
What? Ant-Man, what? Hey, I did not bring that up, but I have watched the Netflix stuff though.
And I have not watched a lot of that.
I think what they're going to do.
My, do you need my password? So
yeah, there you go.
Can see it showing up in Maine.
Then they'll cancel your account. I think this clause has more to do with Disney putting these shows on Hulu and not the Disney app. Because after the whole Fox deal goes through, they're going to own like 75% of Hulu.
Oh, are they? Is it a majority percent?
Yeah, majority percent. Like way over majority percent.
So they're going to either fix it or make it worse.
Yeah. So the assumption is they're going to go there because they already have stuff like Runaways on Hulu, right? And that's kind of MCU adjacent. Okay. So they'll probably continue the street level stuff there and then keep the bigger titles on the movies.
Yeah, you know, actually, you know, to kind of break it out and all that, how do you feel like Marvel having all their stuff? It's like you had, you know, they got stuff on Freeform, they got stuff on Hulu, they got stuff on Netflix, all this stuff where DC just came out and it's like, we've got an app and everything's going there.
Well, not everything, because you've got Arrow and Flash, now Supergirl, Batwoman, Black Lightning.
Yeah, but those are like kind of DC-like.
Amazing.
Amazing, yes.
Exactly. No. I thoroughly enjoy them, but you know,
except
DC...
for Legends. Legends sucks.
You shut your mouth.
Yeah, man. We're gonna have to kick them off for that. Man,
it's the most. Never mind. I'm not gonna.
Have you not seen the GIF? And that's all I'm gonna say. But DC has the more of the multiverse, which makes all that work, where Marvel does not.
Well, and
that's why it works for DC.
And what DC has over Marvel is that DC Universe is about comics, comic book movies, and comic book TV shows. So, like for example, all the animated movies are going to be premiering on DC Universe. I think next week's the first one, which is Reign of the Superman.
Yeah, which is awesomeness.
Yeah, so you get three or four animated movies a year. I mean, that's kind of worth it, I think. Whereas this Disney Plus app is Marvel stuff, you've got Disney stuff, you've got Nickelodeon stuff, you got this, that, and the other. It's more of a generic streaming service than anything else. And
well, the problem.
My big question here is DC going to start tracking the password stuff?
Oh, you might be out of luck then.
No.
I think on that one you're safe for now.
Oh, okay. Riddle me this.
They listen to this, right?
Yes.
Could a show like Titans be on a Disney app?
No.
Because
Disney has a family-friendly image, and anything that they put on that service is going to be rated PG.
So how does Punisher work?
That's why it's not going to be on Disney Plus. It'll be on Hulu whenever it comes back.
There you go.
Yep.
You've got it all figured out.
I'm telling you, bro. It's my prediction for 2020.
He works for Netflix.
I wish.
I've utilized this whole time. I've definitely found that superhero TV shows are not my cup of tea for various reasons. Like the biggest part is that it's a lot of time to watch one season, whereas a movie is more concise. So I just I haven't gotten into all of them like you guys have. So I've just literally spent this whole time imagining Daredevil movies and X-Men movies in the Marvel universe, so I could finally enjoy them. So excited. Oh.
So you approve of the Ben Affleck Daredevil movies over the series?
No, yes. I definitely think the series is better. I've never actually seen the movies. And I don't think I will. I like the Daredevil series. I haven't finished the first season of Punisher, but I was liking that. The other ones, I didn't dislike them. I liked them okay, at least. Jessica Jones, I did watch all of, and I did enjoy that, although I had a hard time getting into it. But all the DC... CW shows and stuff like that. I tried like hell with Arrow. I watched into the second season and then finally gave up. I didn't even try with the other ones very much.
No, Paul, just watch Legends. That's all you need to watch. No.
Well, you can skip the first season of Legends.
Well, the first two seasons.
Or all of them.
No. Start in season three. Start in season three. You're going to love
it. No, that's the worst season.
No, you shut your damn mouth.
I mean, this season's got Constantine.
Yeah.
So it's awesome.
Yep.
It's even more awesome than usual.
Yep.
Boom. And you gotta see the GIF.
I just want an enjoyable X-Men movie. I want X-Men not trying to be the Matrix so much.
Well, Logan was great.
Yeah, Logan was awesome.
Yeah, Logan was very enjoyable. And I, yeah, the... I know that like some of the other movies got better, but they still just aren't quite what I want. Like I want X-Men like Marvel Universe movies are done, you know?
Well, go out and make your own movie then. Go out and make your own movie.
No, I'm just going to wait patiently, Dennis, okay?
I'm going to make my own Batman movie in 2023.
On his iPhone.
When the rights go public domain.
It'll be better than Batman versus Superman.
You shut your mouth. Hey. What? Hey.
You know what?
Theatrical release, bro. Go watch that. Uh-huh. Sure it was.
So, hey man, I'm just a big fan of that Daredevil sheet scene though. You guys about that?
What?
You guys don't remember that one?
No.
The movie?
Is that after they get coffee?
Yeah, that's it.
No. See, I can't get past the playground scene on the seesaw.
You want to watch a great movie? Go watch Elektra.
There you go.
It's a brilliant piece of cinema.
I do not think I ever saw that.
Don't.
I've got the DC app. I took advantage of the 50% sale in December, so I've got it for the whole year. But I haven't watched Titans yet. How many episodes was Titans?
11 episodes.
Two minutes. What?
I'm just kidding.
11 glorious episodes. That show is the best.
So what's the best number of episodes? Because I have found with the Netflix stuff that like 13. I you know what? Defenders seemed to be the best. Like what was it? Eight, nine.
Eight. Yep.
Eight. That seemed to be like the perfect number. I really wish all, you know, I think they should all be like eight. Each season should be eight episodes.
Yeah, eight to ten. I think like is a sweet spot. Yeah.
Even the stuff on the CW.
Oh, they do too many. They do like 22.
Like 23.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because eight episodes seems just about perfect. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You get a tighter story.
Yeah. That's the problem with the TV shows. They're too stretched out. Like, I like Daredevil the best out of all the Netflix shows. And season two, man, dragged so bad in the middle for me. It just slowed down way too much when it was doing the Daredevil and Elektra, you know, being fun and fancy free for like five episodes of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was like last season. What? It wasn't Black Lightning a mid season premiere.
Yeah.
And so it only went for like 8-10 episodes, and that seemed perfect.
Yep. And they'll probably bring that into the main universe next year when they do Crisis.
So okay. So we're way off topic. stuff. but which universe is Black Lightning?
They have not said.
Who knows?
Yeah, they have not said. Because Supergirl's like Earth 32, I think, or 38, something like that. They haven't said what Black Lightning is. Black Lightning's got no relation to anything right now.
You guys are so nerding me to sleep right now. My mind can't keep up with all this. This is why I'm a Marvel guy, I guess.
A Marvel guy? I thought you were an IDW guy.
I'm not much of a capes and cowls guy in general, I guess. But like I've always been more attracted to the Marvel universe than DC, being partially just kind of what I grew up being exposed to. But all the different universes and stuff, like, I mean, that's Martin knows, like when we used to do VCP and we'd talk about Ivar and start talking about time travel, I'd be like, nope, doesn't matter. Talk about the story, not about how time travel works in this universe. Doesn't matter.
See, that's what's so great about DC, because you have all these different universes and time travel works differently at each one.
Yep. It's the best.
And then when you try and travel between different universes,
See, you know, Dennis
thing
gets
happened
it.
To me today. The best thing that happened to me today was my 16-year-old daughter told me that she prefers DC over Marvel. So that's
no, the best thing that happened to you today is this podcast.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't prefer one or the other. It's just, you know, which mood am I in for each one? Because, you know, I have noticed I've actually been getting more Marvel books lately than I have DC.
Yeah, me too. I prefer DC. DC's still number one for me, but I've been really digging a lot of the Marvel stuff lately.
I'm getting more Marvel books. It's by a landslide. It's 1-0.
which Marvel book? And it better be Hulk, because that's the right answer.
It's uncanny. I want to read Hulk, but I'll find a way to read it at some point. But
the new Uncanny or the old?
Well, I'm reading the old Uncanny on Marvel Unlimited, but I'm getting the new one comes out because X-Men's my favorite. and I want one X-Men book, and that's the one with the history. So that's the literally the reason I'm getting it. Yeah. I don't care if another X-Men book is better or not. I want one I can stick to. And I'm excited about what they're forecasting the team to be when this 10-issue event, which only has one more week, thank God.
Oh, yeah, thank God.
Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying the story, but get it done. I'm tired of, like, there's a reason I'm only getting one book from Marvel or DC, and it's not because I want to buy four copies of it a month.
Well, you're about to get a great X-Men book. It's called Age of X-Men.
I was about to say, Martin, do you think it's going to live up to Age of Apocalypse?
Nothing can live up to Age of Apocalypse, not even the Age of Apocalypse sequel. But I have full trust because my boys are writing that one, so it'll be good. Yeah.
So are they doing the same thing again where they discontinue the X-Men titles and go straight to these Age of X-Men?
No.
Stuff?
No.
So is it going to be $4.99 because it's a special event?
Probably. It's Marvel. It'll probably be $7.99.
Yeah.
Yeah. $7.99 is the new $3.99.
Did you see the so they've shown some covers for issues like 11 and 12, you know, getting past this 10-issue event. Luis LaRosa did one.
Yeah, it looks great.
That was awesome. I forget who did the other one that I saw, but it was another awesome cover. But that's what I'm excited about it. I mean, like, they've shown Cyclops and Wolverine on the same team again. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm reading Uncanny. I'm back in, what, like the late 80s right now?
Yep.
And right now, it's Storm's leading it. Wolverine's like her second in command, pretty much. But Cyclops isn't there. Nightcrawler is not there. Colossus isn't there. That's like, so many people.
Cyclops
aren't
is terrible.
Isn't that more mid? Isn't that more mid-80s?
No, it's like 87. I think that I'm in now.
Well, I thought Gambit came in about 87, 88.
No, I think he's a little bit later. Because he's like issue 260 something.
266. Has Rogue joined?
Rogue's there. Yeah,
Rogue's there.
I'm digging Rogue. Like, it's gonna Rogue's been around enough now that she's like solidified her position, and she's starting to be like, especially right now, Storm's away on a solo mission right now, so Wolverine's leading the team. So Rogue is basically stepping up as being the second in command. She's like the second most experienced X-Man right now. So it's I'm really digging Rogue a lot.
Gambit's first appearance is July 1990.
Get this.
Oh, was it 90?
Yep, 1990. And wait till you get to like 92, 93. You're going to be, is this guy like out of the book yet?
Is that Gold Balls?
No, Gold Balls is a whole different level of get out of my book. Yeah. All right, Joey, we have one final one now.
Yeah, rein us in, Joey.
Yes, so sorry about that, guys. The baby's crying a little bit, so I had to mute the microphone for a second.
That's how I felt too with all the DC TV.
I had to close my eyes for a second when you guys were talking about Marvel. So, back to DC. So let's talk about the new Doom Patrol.
Let's not talk about that.
Have you guys seen Cyborg on the Doom Patrol? Like, have you seen that?
I'm pretty sure the second half of the show is designed to troll me.
Are you talking about the Twitter? They're doing a throwback to the 70s family portrait picture when they got the Doom Patrol there doing the whole. I'm trying to block that from my memory, but they keep showing it to me in all social media.
Right. What I'm talking. So, I mean, come on, how cheesy and cheap does Cyborg look?
Booyah!
Booyah! So I want to take this discussion in a different direction, but adjacent. And why is it that DC can't figure out what the hell to do with Cyborg?
Right? Man.
Right? Like, that was my initial feeling when I saw that trailer. I was like, this guy's kind of out of place.
Yeah.
Well, they're trying to make Cyborg a prime DC hero because we're a technology society right now.
Mm.
And he fits into the technology. Like, back in the day, you know, he was on Teen Titans and all of that. You know, he's a cyborg and all that. But, you know, how connected we all are. I mean, we're sitting here talking over the internet right now. And, you know, we've got phones that sit there and kind of, you know, modify our behavior and all this other stuff. So it's a technological world. And
track your passwords.
Yeah, yes. And Cyborg is the perfect character for that, sort of trying to make him major, but...
So it's Cyborg's fault that I can't use Martin's password.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know about that, dude. I don't know about that, because they've been trying the cyborg thing for a long time, and I know that people like that. Wasn't there a miniseries, like 3 issues or something? Maybe I'm making that up. They tried him with the Justice League. I just don't think it works, right? If it had worked in the movie, which I think the guy was dead on for Cyborg, I like the costume, I like what they did with him for the most part. But if it had worked, I think overall, then maybe they could bring some of that success into the comics. I have never felt that Cyborg fit with the Justice League. And it's not a thing of, that's not my Cyborg, because I was never big on the Teen Titans. So my exposure to Cyborg has never been huge. It's not a character that I really ever followed very closely. He's not interesting to me in any way, shape, or form. And maybe it's just the way that people have tackled him, and for that reason, it's not interesting to me. And I'm sure it's interesting to some people who want an African-American character that they can relate to, and that's fine. For me, I don't care about that stuff. And it just, it doesn't work in Justice League. It works fine in Titans, but in Justice League, it doesn't work. And in Doom Patrol, I mean, I just don't see it, man. You already have Robot Man, so you have a robot character. Why have a second one? And to me, Doom Patrol is what Grant Morrison did, and I know there's been other iterations, but to me, that's the best iteration, because Grant Morrison pays me to mention his name in every podcast that I do.
Are you a part of the Comics Gate community?
No, I just, to me, it doesn't fit with what Doom Patrol is.
I'm pretty sure they're just doing it to piss Aaron off.
Yes, that's exactly right, actually.
See, my Doom Patrol's from the 60s, so...
Oh, you like the OG stuff.
Yeah, I like the OG Doom Patrol. This Grant Morrison stuff, it's kind of derivative.
It's fantastic, you mean to say.
Hey, the one question that I had about this is, why is it that we have a cyborg in the movies and a cyborg in this TV show, but we don't get a Batman or any of the other stuff?
It was a Batman.
Do you actually care about Batman?
You know, how do we get rid of Paul?
I mean, we have a Superman in the movies and we have a Superman in the CW.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So why don't we get the good characters? We don't want to, like, how do we get rid of Paul? Seriously. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, Paul.
See? Now he muted himself. You see what you did, Joey?
I'm sorry, Paul.
Way to
He's
go.
In a safe place now.
Eminem's one out over a comment there.
We'll record tomorrow and I'll make it up to you, buddy.
That goes back to that whole rights thing we were talking about earlier. So, you know, maybe at some point, but not now. I don't know, man. I think there's got to be somebody that can do Cyborg properly, right? So, like, if Brian Edward Hill decides to stay on comics, I know he's been talking about leaving after this year, but if he decides to stay, like, that would be a guy that would know what to do with his character. You know what I mean? I just don't think that anyone's really used him properly and to his full extent. And as a result, the character suffered in not really being interesting. And they're maybe trying to find a home for him. I just don't know that Doom Patrol is that home.
I think I agree. Yeah.
From my perspective, where I'm obviously not as into DC as you guys, I don't watch all the shows and stuff like that. But I'm even getting Cyborg crammed down my throat and I'm hardly watching anything. I mean, it's getting to the point where it's a little ridiculous. Like, I think even Teen Titans Go, the movie, made fun of it.
Yeah.
Because he's obviously in that, but he even joined the Justice League in that damn movie.
I don't know. I enjoyed Cyborg in the Teen Titans. I enjoyed Cyborg in the OG Teen Titans cartoon, not this Go crap. Mm-hmm. And I understand why they're wanting to be with the Justice League. I totally understand that. And maybe it's the whole New 52 and the rebirth thing, because Aaron and I have been kind of like going back and forth tonight, because I can't figure out how the hell Ted Kord's back alive. And he's like, New 52, dude! And I'm like, wow!
Dennis, we don't mention that guy on this show.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So, that guy.
He should not be named.
Not named.
Yes.
But it's like, you know, I'm just not this whole, well, New 52, this is the way it is. And it's like, well, you know, maybe if it was like Earth 52, I could understand it. But I know why they want to make Cyborg. I could see it. It's just maybe, and maybe this comes back to our Comics Gate discussion. It's like, it almost seemed like he was Cyborg was crammed down our throats to be on Justice League. Mm-hmm. There was, because wasn't it always pitched that the Teen Titans and Titans were like the minor leagues for the Justice League? And after you put in your time and you got your experience, then you would come up, you would come up to the majors. And it's just like, you never saw Cyborg get developed to come into the majors.
Yep. Which, by the way, I don't know if you guys are reading Champions, the new Champions book at Marvel, but that's what they're trying to do with those characters. So they put Ms. Marvel in there and Miles Morales. Who else is on there? Amadeus Cho. The guy that was Nova, he loves his powers. I can't remember his name. Not my Nova.
All I'm hearing is all these ideas are just being sold from New Mutants anyways.
Well, yes. That's true.
I will agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Everything goes back to the real greats, the X-Men.
There's no argument there, man. That's the one X-Men book that I like, or the one Marvel book that I like.
Well, I will say X-Men is like how team books should have been done. Because I will say I cannot go back and read pre-Grant Morrison Justice League. Like when it came to JLA and he did that, and then all the iterations since I can read, but anything but anyway. I can't go back to old issues of like Justice League from the 80s, the 70s, and the 60s.
It's because just... Grant Morrison is the best.
On occasion.
Wait, what, didn't Always. You say you grew up reading comics in the 60s, Dennis?
That's my Doom Patrol. And my Metal Men.
Oh, Metal Men is great, yes.
And Black Hawk and... Our Army at War. See, I was really big into the 60s war comics because World War II never ended in the 60s.
Yep.
All right. Some awful stuff. So have we gotten totally off topic now?
I'll just say one final thing and then we can either wrap up or somebody can say something. Regardless of how much I hate what I've seen of this new Cyborg, I'm still going to watch the show and I hope that it works.
Because you've only seen images. We have yet to see.
Only seen images, right? That's how the whole thing with Starfire was. When Starfire showed up, everyone was like, this looks terrible, but she looked great in the show. So hold your reservations is what I say.
Even though I have no intentions to watch this show, I have the most confidence that it's all going to work out.
Hey, sure, Paul, do you need my password?
Yeah, totally. It's open to my DMs, Dennis.
It's only going to work for a little while.
There you go.
Uh huh. They're going to unleash the mother box.
Since we're on the subject of the DC app, have you guys been catching the new season of Young Justice?
Nope, not yet.
Oh, I so want to, but I've been trying to clear out other stuff. I've been like 4 weeks behind on all the CW shows, and I'm finally about caught up.
Yeah,
I didn't want to start another one because I still got to see Titans and I got to see that.
I got to tell you guys here. Let me tell you guys everything about it.
It's just awesome.
It's awesome, dude.
Did Grant Morrison write it?
Excuse me.
Did Grant Morrison write it?
No.
Then it can't be awesome. It might be really good though.
It's awesome.
Hey, Martin.
It's really good. Hey, I think Paul. It's better than
what has Grant Morrison done outside of DC?
He's done a bunch of stuff. Invisibles. Go read that.
I don't think I have read Invisibles. But that's a big one. I've read We Three. That was good.
Go read that. What was the one? Something Babylon. Damn, I got to look it up.
18 Days.
18 Days is good.
Didn't he do Nameless?
No, Nameless is... Wasn't that Ellis?
I think it was Morrison. Let me check.
You might be right. I don't know.
Did he do No Hero?
No Hero.
I do got to say, he looks sexy in a suit, though, huh?
Oh, I'm thinking Ellis, yeah, because I got I got Super God and all that stuff. That's Ellis, not Morrison.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, Nameless is Morrison. I've read that. It was weird.
Go read. You want weird? Go read Invisibles. Guaranteed. Oh, well, no.
Did he do Transmetropolitan?
No, that was Ellis.
That was
Ellis too.
Yep.
See, I kind of lumped those two guys together, Morrison and Ellis together, because I get confused by both of them.
There's some similarities.
I couldn't get into Transmetropolitan because I was a big Hunter Thompson fan, and to me it feels like watered down Hunter Thompson.
Yeah, but when that book came out, it's a thing about being in the right place at the right time. When that book came out, it was completely different.
Yeah, I can completely understand that because now it's, Hunter Thompson has been so overexposed that it doesn't feel as interesting, but it was an interesting book. Like, it was that I enjoyed the bit of it that I read, but I also... It was kind of like trying to read a book of a show you really liked or something like that. You try to read the book, you're like, but I already watched the show. Mm. Just feels like too much of the same thing, kind of, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, he did an X-Men run. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, he did. When he went to New X-Men.
Yeah, New X-Men. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I believe, from what I've been told, that's when the X-Men gets readable again after a period of time.
I don't doubt it.
You know, that's when I just, you know, that's when I realized, like, men spelled backwards was new. Or however they did the font, and he did it like that. And I'm like, you know, you look at the font design, then it's like, oh.
Yeah.
That's what. Okay, so I've had 5 bourbons. Screw you.
It's very good.
That's when you get characters like Beak and that Bumblebee kind of character and Kid Omega and...
Oh, I like Kid Omega. Glob. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Glob and...
I only have like 4 good years of Uncanny left before it goes downhill. So don't be the ghost of Christmas future here.
Oh, come on. It doesn't really start going downhill to like 300 or the early 300s.
What does that translate to year-wise? Because I would say like 93.
Yeah, but it should be like 93-ish.
Yeah.
That's about right. Yep.
Best year for comics.
93? It was a great year for Image Comics. Yeah. All right. Should we wrap this up?
Let's wrap it up.
Cool. I'm going to take us out then. Gentlemen.
Where are you taking us to?
I'm taking us to Grant Morrison land.
Oh, man.
Yes. Thank you for coming on. Thank you, Joey, for putting it together. I look forward to the next one. Maybe we'll invite the same crew. Maybe we'll rotate the crew out. Maybe I won't show up next episode. Who knows?
I will definitely be here to complain about the gross misrepresentation of DC in the show.
Oh, yes. You can, of course, find everybody on their own podcasts. You can find Joey on the Batpod. He's on Twitter at JoeyGalvez84. You can also find him on the Shell Shock, which he does with Paul, the TMNT podcast. Paul is at Who's Paul. He's on Shell Shock. He's on Paul and Michael Save the World, occasionally Save the World. You guys should just save the world all the time. The world needs some saving.
And we're kind of busy.
Yeah, well, I know. And you can find Dennis on Best of the Rest, and he's at UTENGR. I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'll just go with that.
It's Utinger. Come on. You pronounce it just like it's spelled.
Is that a UT
After
reference?
5 bourbons, you can spell it.
You can, of course, find me on Twitter at Geekvine. The email address is yell@comictalk.today. But if you really want to yell, you just yell at me. That's it. I'll be back Monday, top of the pile.
Bye-bye.